And I shall ask that you begin to read with me in verse number 7. Verse number 7, we'll read through verse 11. Stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God as we begin to read. The Bible says, "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write." Now that word angel means messenger. It's speaking about the pastor. "And to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, and he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. Because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." Now I'll leave off reading there, and I want us to go back and look at verse number 7 and 8, portions of it. The Lord said to the church at Philadelphia, He that openeth and no man shutteth, and shutteth and no man openeth. I know thy works. Behold, I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. My, what a wonderful promise to a church, a local church like this church. And the Lord said that he has the ability to open things and no man can close them, and close things and no man can open them. But he said, "I've set before you an open door and no man can shut it." Trinity Baptist Church does not have to fear outside forces and outside men. God said that they're not going to be able to shut it down. The danger is that God sees faithlessness and unfaithfulness in us and shuts it down. Not everything with the name church is his church today. They may have started out as his church, but there comes a time when God says, my name's not going to be attached to that. My power is not going to be given to that. You're not using my book. You're not going by my plans. You're not seeking my leadership. I'm out locked outside, and I'll just withdraw my candlestick. You're on your own. Oh, my. I've never been on my own since I got saved. I've always had the Lord. I don't want to be a part of a church where I'm on my own. I want him to be involved. And what I want to emphasize tonight is this. I believe God would say to us tonight, "I have set before thee an open door." In these times when politics is gone awry and immorality is down the tube, in this time when the economy is take from those that have it and give it to those that won't work, in these days when people are trying to promote same-sex marriage and recognize homosexual couples as an alternate lifestyle, in these days when Christianity is becoming more and more secular because they don't follow the book, they're listening to the cries of the world, "Do it like we want to do it," I'm glad we still have a word from God said, "I've set before you an open door, and no man can shut it." Now I want you to remember that tonight. Father, help me as I bring this message to be a blessing and a challenge to our people. God, we've never had a greater opportunity in this church than this church has tonight and in the future. I pray, O Heavenly Father, that you would come down on this service tonight and pour out your Spirit in such a way that we might walk out of here knowing there is a God in heaven and He met with us tonight. Give me liberty and power to preach. And may it challenge hearts and encourage hearts to be faithful and take advantage of the great opportunity that God has given Trinity Baptist Church in the heart of the Metroplex. And we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. We've enjoyed God's blessings here at Trinity Baptist Church over these past 23 years in unbelievable proportions. I believe that the blessings have been the result of God keeping His promise to those who have been faithful to Him, those who sought His will and walked in it, those who believed His church was not my church, but it really was His church, and it was for His glory and His honor. And I believe God is blessed because there's been a group of people here that's been faithful to uphold the Word of God and exalt the God of the Word. I also believe that what God has done here at Trinity Baptist Church is only a small part of what He wants to do here. If we were yielded to Him and keep Him in that preeminent place in all things. I believe the greatest days of Trinity Baptist Church are ahead. The title of my message tonight is Our Greatest Days Are Ahead, If. Now, I want you to know the if is not with God, and it's not with the Bible, and not with the Holy Spirit. It's not with a plan. It's not even with the lost sinner. The if tonight lies with us. Whether or not we want to walk a spiritual walk and live to please Him and honor Him with our lives. Not everybody wants to do that. A lot of people have the idea that church is for them, not for Him. That it's for our entertainment, not for His praise and honor and glory. And I want you to know that's a fallacy. That's stinking thinking. The greatest days are ahead of our church. The economy will not be hindered and will not be a hindrance to God, since God is our source of supply if we'll learn to depend on Him. God said, "But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus." You say, Paul said that. Yes, God said it to Paul and had him write it down for us. And I want you to know I believe God. I believe our greatest days as a church are ahead of us. Even though the political situation of our nation is as it is. I want you to know politics, if we don't mingle it in the church and make politics more important than Christ, it's not going to be a hindrance to us. I don't like Obama in the White House. I think it's an abomination. But I want you to know Obama's not going to be what keeps Trinity Baptist Church from fulfilling the purpose and the will of God for us. You see, I believe Christ is the omnipotent one. He's the all-powerful one. I believe He's still the head of the church and the head of every man if we'll keep Him and His will in that priority, preeminent place in our life. Listen to what Paul said in Colossians. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. Hey, in a lot of churches, Jesus is the tail of the church. If He's going to have any part in it, He's back there dragging along behind. Because we've left Him. The church at Laodicea left Him and locked Him outside. But the Bible says He's the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He's not to be just somebody you hope that shows up. He's the one that we're to worship. He's the one that we're to serve. And in all things, He is to have the preeminence. And then in Colossians chapter 2, verse 10, the Bible says, "And ye are complete in Christ, which is the head of all principalities and powers." And I want to emphasize that tonight, because there may be a Supreme Court and a Congress and a Senate and a President, but I want you to know there's one that's over them. And He has the ability to turn the hearts of the kings and the legislators and the congressmen whatsoever way and whichsoever way He will. The need of mankind in the world is not changed. The power of the Holy Spirit is not changed. The Word of God has not changed. And the power of God to change lives of repentant sinners has not changed. The only question mark in the future of this church, or any church, is found in the people who sit in the pews and the man who fills the pulpit. The question mark's not with him. As long as we stay with the Bible and practice its teachings, and as long as we keep the Great Commission as our priority work, and as long as the man in this pulpit continues to lead as he walks with the God of the Bible, the greatest days are ahead for this church. The only question mark in our future is found in us. Will we stay true to God's plan? Will we stay true to His purpose? Will we stay true to His Word? Or will we want to change all of these for our entertainment, for our benefit, for our will, not His? I say this because I've seen too many churches and preachers that I thought would never change have been influenced by the contemporary music infection and the modern day move to please the people in the church instead of pleasing God. The emphasis is too often on entertainment and big instead of pleasing God. Our text verse tonight comes from the words of Jesus to the church at Philadelphia. Jesus said, "Behold, I have set before thee an open door." We also notice from our text that open doors ignored becomes closed doors. When God closes the door, no man on this earth can open it. It's closed forever. Sometimes the devil's open door is mistaken for God's open door. And we've got to be spiritual enough to know the difference. I'm afraid many young preachers make the mistake of looking for something that's profitable or seems good or appears to be bigger. They're thinking about their name and their fame instead of His name and His glory. And they get swallowed up in Satan's substitute or Satan's counterfeit, Satan's open door. We must be able to discern between God's open door and Satan's counterfeit. We can do this only by the Word of God and by prayer and fasting, following His Word and the leadership of the Holy Spirit. I want you to know tonight, and my message is not long from here on out, God has set before us an open door of opportunity. I don't know of a church in America, I guarantee you, 90% of the preachers in America would love to have Trinity Baptist Church as their church. Because of the location, because of the great area of people that we're in, because of the great possibilities. There's no greater opportunity in our nation than the opportunity we have here at this location, in this city, and at this time. Forget the excuses, and remember the great God and His promises. We live here among 6.3 million in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. You stick your finger down in the very center of it, and you'll stick it on Trinity Baptist Church, because we're located in the middle of this great metropolitan area. Let's not forget that forget the fact that wasted opportunities may equal complete failure in God's sight, followed by blessings withheld. He set before us a open door of opportunity. We neglect that. We ignore that. We put our plans and our will and our pleasure and our careers ahead of the will of God. God may say, hey, there's a little church starting up over here, and it has 10 members, and they want to do something for me to honor me. I'll take your blessings and put it on them. I can show you church after church after church in the Metroplex that used to be great Bible-believing churches. But they don't exist today, or if they do exist, they're contemporary, they're worldly. The Bible you read is the Bible you need is their philosophy. The Book of the Month Club is their program when it comes to the Bible. Let's not forget that the fact that wasted opportunities may equal complete failure in God's sight, followed by blessings withheld. I have no doubt that the church at Laodicea was once a good church. Started out on the right foundation, that Jesus used to be in its midst. But somewhere they got rich, had need of nothing, and self-satisfied and self-content, and said, we don't need you anymore, and just locked him outside. We must not have the attitude that if we miss this opportunity, God will give us another one later on. There's no guarantee of that. If we cannot be trusted by God to take advantage of the open door that's before us, then why should He ever offer us another opportunity? God has set before us an open door of opportunity. Secondly, God has set before us an open door of power, the power of the Holy Spirit. He lives in every Christian, and He wants to be in control of our lives. That's what we call walking in the Spirit or being filled with the Holy Spirit. Every Christian in this building can have all of the Holy Spirit you're willing to claim and pay for. And I'm not talking about paying with money. The power of the Holy Spirit comes with a cost. It comes with a cost of a clean life. You read Ephesians chapter 5 and where He commands us to be not drunk with wine, but to be ye filled with the Spirit. In the verses prior to that, He lists a whole list of sins and said, let not these once be named among you. We can't expect the Holy Spirit of God to fill us if we live in a dirty body, a dirty life. And I'm not talking about something that can be cleansed with soap. I think Christians ought to bathe. And I think some need to bathe more frequently than they do. I'm around you. I mean, we've got too much European flavor here. They said Dallas is becoming a European city. Does that mean they're not going to use deodorant anymore also? Not going to bathe once a week, whether they need it or not. Hey, I'm talking about a clean life, and I'm talking about a life separate from sin and separate from the world, and one that's cleansed not by soap, but by the precious blood of Jesus, and one who frequently goes back to that fountain and confesses our sin so we can be clean day by day. And hour by hour. It cost us a clean life. It calls us a yielded life. If we're going to walk in the power of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be able to do it our way. We're going to have to lay aside our will and yield to His will. We're going to have to ask, Lord, not my will, but Thine be done. What wilt Thou have me to do? A yielded life. One that's laid on the altar, a living sacrifice. I preached in chapel last Friday. Where is your altar? Have you ever had an altar where you laid your body on that altar and gave yourself to Jesus Christ? Everything we do in Christian service, we've got to do in this body of flesh. You say, well, I'm spiritual. Yeah, if you're going to be a spiritual singer, you're going to have to sing in this flesh. And this flesh has got to be yielded. If you're going to be a spiritual soul winner, it's got to be done in a body of flesh. And this flesh has got to be yielded. And I could go on and on. If you're going to have a prayer life, it's done in this body of flesh. And this flesh must be yielded. The cost of walking in the Spirit is a clean life and a yielded life. It's going to cost you time, prayer, and fasting. Now, our attitude is not prayer and fasting, it's pray fast. If it wasn't for you praying at lunch, some of you wouldn't have a prayer life at all. And when you pray, it's some little stock prayer. Prayer and fasting. We cannot approach God's work like we do secular work. This is a spiritual work. This is God's church. He's a holy God. It's a spiritual work, and we cannot approach it in the flesh without that flesh being clean and yielded to God and filled with the Spirit of God. It's going to take prayer and fasting. I wonder why this isn't happening. Jesus said some things come not but by prayer and fasting. See, we've had it so good so long, some of you don't want it if you've got to do something to get it. You're satisfied. You've taken your church for granted, your preacher for granted, your staff for granted. You come when it's convenient to you. If you don't tithe, well, so what? That somebody else will make it up. Talking about we've got an open door, but we're going to have to pay a cost to do it. And if it's to take advantage of the opportunity, and it's going to require a life filled with the Holy Spirit of God, a clean life, a yielded life, a life of prayer and fasting. I've met with a man today, and over the years, we've become friends. He claims to be a Christian. He's a Catholic. But I've witnessed to him, and he gave me testimony of accepting Jesus, not the wafer. Depending on the shed blood, not the wine. And that he's confessed to him that he's a sinner and asked him to come into his heart and be a Savior. But he still clings to his Catholic heritage. He told me something this morning. I'd spent a little bit on the message, and I was just about this time when I was interrupted and we had our meeting and so forth. He said, "Brother Smith, I'm so concerned about America. I'm concerned about where we're headed, the immorality and the ungodliness and the homosexuality and the same-sex marriage and all of these other things that are going on in our country. And I'm so concerned about our Christian community being more concerned about careers and things than we are God. We're raising our children and putting all our emphasis on training them to be athletes instead of training them to be men and women that'll live by principle and the word." The Catholic is telling me this. And I said, "Yes." And I called him by name, and I said, "I'll tell you something that's missing in America, and that's an old-fashioned prayer life." He said, "Brother Smith, I get up every morning at 3 o'clock and I spend 2 hours in prayer," he said, "with my rosary." Now, I'm not bragging on him. I'm simply saying shame on us. We don't have to go through Mary. We don't have to go through beads. We can go straight to God through Jesus Christ. And when we get on our knees and we try to pray and we don't know what to pray for or how to pray, thank God the Holy Spirit makes utterance for us and intercession for us with utterings, groanings that cannot be uttered. We have that, and yet we don't use it. It's going to cost something to have that power of the Spirit, and it's available to us. How's your prayer life? It's deer season. Some of you have prayed since October started, and here was your prayer. Oh, dear God, send that big one by. Dear God. But you haven't prayed for your family or your nation or your children. You say, how do you know that? I pray in the deer stand. I'm familiar with that prayer. God answers a whole lot of other prayers more than He answers that kind, though. He set before us an open door of power. How much of the power of the Holy Spirit is evident in your life? Nobody's running around accusing our members of, hey, you're walking in the Spirit, aren't you? Oh, don't label me with that. They might think I'm a charismatic. God help. I wish somebody would notice the Holy Spirit of God evident in our lives. They've called Spirit-filled Christians crazy down through the years. I wish we had some Spirit-filled crazies in our church that walked in the Spirit and lived by the book and wanted to uphold the Lord. It's going to cost a clean life, a yielded life, prayer and fasting. It's going to cost obedience to the Word of God and His calling. The Word of God and His calling. Can I tell you, there's a lot more people in our church called to teach than are teaching. There's a lot more people called to the bus ministry than are working it. There's a lot more people called to be a driver. You've heard that still small voice than are driving. There's a lot more people in our church been called to the mission field than have surrendered. There's a lot more young men been called to preach the gospel than have yielded their life to that calling. If we're going to have His power, it's going to require obedience to God's Word and God's calling. And may I say, it's going to require faithfulness serving Him through His church. This is the church age. The plan of God for our worship and our ministry and our service and our tithing and giving is through His local New Testament church where our membership is. Most Christians never know the power of walking in the Spirit because they're not willing to pay the cost. God has not only set before us an open door of opportunity and an open door for His power, He set before us an open door for His blessings and promotion. In that blessings and promotion, He's promised to save whosoever will call upon Him. Man, that's an open door. An open door. We're looking for promotion by the world, but wouldn't it be good if we'd realize our promotion comes through Him? I want His blessings. If I've got to have God's blessings or a $10 an hour raise, I'll take God's blessings. Because money can't replace God in our lives and God in our homes and God in our families. We settle for much less than God wants to give us. If we really understood what God wants to do with us and for us, we'd probably have a heart attack. We're affected too much by sight living instead of faith living. We allow the problems and the circumstances around us to hold us back instead of stepping out as God at God's leadership by faith in His promises. We're a church with great potential in a great area, plus we have a great God with unlimited power. However, great potential is usually mentioned only when a person or church fails to live up to it. Great potential with poor character equals failure, not success. Laziness and lack of dependability also equates to failure. God majors on faithfulness and good character, not great potential. If you want God's blessings and God's power on your life, if you want it on your church, then we must do right at all costs. We must develop faithfulness to His church and to the God of this church. We must work hard at developing good character as well as our talents. develop talents with poor character results in pride and boastfulness and arrogance and becomes an abomination to Almighty God. We cannot settle just for potential. We must develop a testimony of honesty and dependability and punctuality. Punctuality! Spirituality, and above all, faithfulness to God and His church and His word. Then may I say lastly that God has set before us a great commission to fulfill. China was a closed country, and all of a sudden they began to invite English teachers to come in and teach English. And missionaries went in to teach English, and they're winning people to Christ. For years, Russia was a closed communist country. Then one day, it unlocked its doors for a little while. They'll close again. They'll close. They're closing now. I'm simply saying to you tonight that the Great Commission is ahead of us, and that's still our marching orders. Whatever else this church plans to do, if we get away from the Great Commission, personal soul winning, and world evangelism as our priority work, then we have no right to exist. He set before us an open door for the Great Commission to go into all the world. We've never had opportunities like we have today. They can close the borders, but they can't stop the airwaves. Old Christian Radio, operated by Brother Michael McFadden, is reaching more people around the world than many churches in their lifetime because he sends out the gospel. He showed me an email he got this week. Somebody said, "You've got a wonderful pastor." I said, "Was he talking about me?" Hey, I don't know who it was. They didn't sign it. But somewhere they heard the gospel over that internet. They can build bamboo curtains and iron curtains and walls and fences, but they can't keep that out. And radios, broadband radios, signals coming from America going around the world with the gospel. There's Christian radios, independent Baptist Christian radio stations in Iraq tonight. Take that. I'm simply saying to you, we've got an open door. We've got to keep the Great Commission as our priority work at home and around the world. Well, let me conclude. Christ not only tells us and shows us the great opportunities before us, He also gives us a very serious warning. The same God who has set before us an open door can also shut that door. And when He shuts it, man can't open it. May God help us to be faithful and take advantage of His open door that's set before us. That's my message to you tonight.